Episode 5. This is the fifth and final part in our 15th annual Pro-Life mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. In episode 1, we were reminded that marriage is holy. Marriage is sacred. And because marriage is so holy and so sacred, the devil is working overtime to destroy it. Redefining and destroying marriage is right from Satan. Redefining marriage is clearly demonic and satanic. In episode 2, we were inspired to make an act of faith in what God reveals to us about marriage. God has revealed to us only one true definition of marriage. He tells us that marriage is between only one man and one woman for the purpose of the procreation and the education of children until death do they part. And so even if we don't like this definition of marriage, even if we don't agree with it or understand it, and even if we find it to be very difficult, Almighty God calls us to make an act of faith in what he reveals to us about marriage. Jesus says, "My brothers and sisters, I never lie to you. I'm the truth. I'm God. You've got to believe me. You've got to trust me." I can't emphasize this enough because apparently there's still some confusion on this point. No good Christian, no good Catholic Christian can say, "I believe there are all kinds of definitions of marriage, between a man and a woman, between two men, between two women, between three women, between four men." If you believe that, you're a heretic. Please just be honest. Don't say you're a good Catholic if you believe that. If you believe there are all kinds of definition of marriage other than the one true definition that God reveals to us in sacred scripture, you are in grave danger of setting yourself outside of full communion with the Roman Catholic Church. In episode 3, we talked about reason and natural law. The truth that marriage is between only one man and one woman is not only known by faith, it's also known by reason, by carefully studying the natural moral law, the law written on our hearts. We don't need religious faith or supernatural divine revelation to know that marriage is between one man and one woman. We can know that through reason, by the natural law written on our hearts. I can't call every committed love relationship a marriage any more than I can call an elephant or a giraffe or a yellow jacket a bumblebee or a hawk an eagle. You don't have to be Christian or religious or have special divine revelation to know the difference between an elephant and a giraffe, or to know the difference between eagles and hawks, or to know the difference between marriage and other committed love relationships. We simply have to use right reason and carefully reflect on the law written on our hearts. Last week in episode 4, we talked about conscience, freedom, and tolerance. We said that you must follow your conscience. You must always follow your conscience. But we said conscience is not based on how you feel. Conscience is a judgment of our reason about the good or evil of a particular act. And so your conscience, my conscience, can be wrong. We have a moral obligation to form our conscience. Just as a compass helps us to reorient ourselves to make sure we're going in the right direction, we have the moral obligation to reorient our consciences with reality so that we know we're going in the right direction toward God. Regarding freedom, we said that no one has absolute freedom to do what they want. Freedom has limits and responsibilities. I can't morally bring a gun to school, carry certain items on an airplane, or drive my car as fast as I want. And I don't morally have the freedom to marry whoever I want, when I want. No one is morally free to do something that is against God's law and the law written on our heart. No one has the right to do something that would hurt others or themselves, even if they don't know they're hurting themselves. And when it comes to tolerance, we said tolerance is not a virtue. Tolerance is not a virtue. Jesus does not call us to be tolerant. Jesus calls us to love and respect every human person because they are made in his image and likeness. But our Lord challenges us to never tolerate evil actions or false doctrines that are against God's most holy will. And that brings us up to date to today, to episode 5. Most of you know that this Tuesday, November the 6th, when we exercise our moral obligation to vote, we will have the opportunity in the state of Minnesota to vote yes to this question. Shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to provide that only a union of one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Minnesota? And now you know that this definition of marriage is in harmony with God's divine law and the laws of nature. Now, through our October Pro-Life miniseries, you have formed your conscience, not based on your feelings, but based on God's divine law and the laws of nature. And now you know that while we love each and every human person, we can never tolerate evil or give people the freedom to do something that would harm their immortal souls. So, on Tuesday, when we go to the polls, Bishop Quinn is encouraging us to vote yes on the Marriage Protection Amendment in the state of Minnesota. Leaving it blank will count as a no vote. This directive comes from a bishop that I know personally is deeply rooted in prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Many times I have been with him in prayer as he pours out his soul to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, praying for wisdom and insight as he makes his decisions. The bishop says, with Moses in today's first reading, take to heart the words which I enjoin on you today. Fear the Lord your God and keep throughout the days of your lives all of his statutes and commandments. Bishop Quinn is our chief shepherd. He is the pastor of the Diocese of Winona. He is a successor to the apostles of Jesus Christ. And he is urging us, please vote yes on the Minnesota Marriage Protection Amendment. Don't leave it blank. Now, what will happen if the marriage amendment doesn't pass? I invite you to go home and take a look at the diocesan website and listen to a 4-minute message from Bishop Quinn directly. In that message, he says that right now, as we speak, there is a lawsuit pending in Hennepin County which seeks to overturn the definition of marriage in Hennepin County and force clerks to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. If the Minnesota Constitution does not say that a marriage is between only one man and one woman, then a judge, one judge, not the voters, just a judge, can decide to force clerks to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Bishop Quinn told me a couple of weeks ago, he says that on the legal documents in Canada, it no longer asks for the names of your parents or for your mother and father. In Canada, you can no longer use that language about parents or mother and father. Instead, on all the forms in Canada, it says progenitor number one and progenitor number two. In California, the Salvation Army lost $3.5 million in social service contracts in the city of San Francisco because it refused to extend spousal benefits to same-sex couples. In Massachusetts and Illinois, Catholic Charities was forced out of adoption services because it would not place children with same-sex couples. Catholic Charities in Massachusetts had the best adoption program in the state. And now the program does not even exist. In the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., the Archdiocese was forced to discontinue some of its employment benefits for all their employees because they would not provide them to same-sex couples. What do you think of this story? Elaine and her husband, John, run a photography business in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They refused politely to photograph the commitment ceremony between Vanessa and Misty because Elaine and John's Christian convictions told them that marriage should be between only one man and one woman. They very respectfully recommended other photographers who had a similar style and price range that they had. But on May the 31st, 2012, the State Human Rights Commission in New Mexico fined this Christian wedding photographer $6,637, the exact cost of the commitment ceremony. Because they declined that same-sex couple as clients. This is unbelievable to me. You can be forced to take pictures? Really? So if a photographer personally believes that we shouldn't be cruel to animals, they can be fined by the government if they refuse to take a picture of your dead deer? That case is right now before the New Mexico Supreme Court. How about the story of Julia Ward, an Eastern Michigan University graduate student who enrolled in a counseling practicum course in January of 2009? Julia was assigned a potential client seeking assistance to live in a healthy same-sex relationship. Julia knew she couldn't counsel a couple in good conscience, so as is the common professional practice in matters of conscience, she respectfully, politely referred the potential client to another qualified counselor. It's standard medical procedure. Eastern Michigan University informed Julia Ward that she could only stay in the counseling program if she agreed to undergo a remediation program to help her see the error of her ways and change her belief system. Julia refused, and Julia was expelled. It took 3 years until January the 27th of this year, 2012, for the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit to rule in favor of Julia Ward and said, "You got to be kidding. You can't expel her from school for such a thing." But in Lexington, Massachusetts, they didn't fare so well. There were some parents in Lexington, Massachusetts who were very upset that in their child's kindergarten class, they were reading a book entitled King and King, a story about a prince who falls in love with another prince. They get married and rule as King and King. The parents did not challenge this public school for reading the book. They challenged the school for failing to provide them with prior notice that the book was being read and for failing to allow them exemption for such instruction. Nope. In 2008, in Parker versus Hurley, a federal appeals court found that parents who oppose a particular part of the curriculum on moral grounds do not have a right to exempt their child or to even be informed in advance of the curriculum content. Wow. So parents don't have to be informed of the curriculum, and they can't even have their child sit out of a lesson that goes against their conscience. I could go on and on and on and on, and you know I can. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the words of the prophet Elijah, how long will you straddle the issue? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. How long will you straddle the issue? 45 years ago this month, in November of 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave a powerful speech at the National Labor Leadership Assembly for Peace. And this is what he said. Perhaps some of you can do it in his accent if you've heard this powerful speech before. He said, on some positions, a coward has asked the question, is it safe? Expediency asked the question, is it politic? Vanity asked the question, is it popular? But conscience asked the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must take it because conscience tells him it is right. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's do the right thing. Vote yes for the life of every child within the womb of his mother. Vote yes for marriage between one man and one woman. I'm Father Cook, and I approve this message.